If you have your Bibles with you this morning, please turn with me to Exodus chapter 12, and you're probably asking yourself, what in the world are you doing? Trust me. Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to be in verse 1. This is unusual that you would hear probably a pastor, don't kick me off yet. I promise you it's going to be okay, but it's unusual to hear us preaching on Resurrection Sunday something out of Exodus. But I want to confirm with you, it is everything we need to hear this morning. And so let us pray before we get into God's Word to ask Him to open our eyes to see His truth. Let's pray. Oh God, we ask You to open our eyes. We ask You to illuminate our ears and our eyes that we may hear and see Your Word, the truth of Your Word. And may You, O God, feed us today through the power of Your Holy Spirit on Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you're able to stand with me this morning, please stand as we read God's Word. Exodus chapter 12 and 1 through 14. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's house, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons. According to what each can eat shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lamb at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts of the lintel or the inlet of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts, and you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." In verse 14, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a fast." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. What does the significance of the Old Testament passage or the Old Testament Passover supper have to do with us Christians over 3,000 years later? Wow. Well, some of you already know. But I want to give it away through my main idea. Jesus is the Paschal Lamb. Jesus is the Passover Lamb. In Exodus 12, 1 through 4, we see parallels between Old Testament Passover foreshadowing Jesus' work on the cross. So we see in verses 1 through 5a, a perfect sacrifice prepared for Israel. That's what we're seeing. And in verses 6 through 11, we're seeing a perfect sacrifice given for Israel. And in verses 12 and 14, we see a perfect sacrifice covers Israel. We're going to unpack that this morning. Our first point here, a perfect sacrifice prepared for Israel. What does that look like? What is that? And where does this tradition come from? Are they just pulling this out of a hat here? Did Moses and Aaron suddenly become the first ones to institute this tradition that God gave them? Have you ever thought through that? Well, let's look backwards in redemptive history. Where has all this sacrifice come from? Abraham, when God commanded him to offer his son Isaac, Isaac expected what? A lamb to be sacrificed. Noah offered only clean animals, we see, after he got out of the ark. But in those clean animals included sheep and goats and cattle. Those were significant. He pointed those out specifically. It was also, they sacrificed fish and birds. Now, Abel, we see, was a keeper of sheep, the Word of God tells us. And Abel was, he brought of the firstborn of his flock of their fat portions to the Lord, we see. And the Lord had regard, the Word of God says, for Abel and his offerings. In Genesis 4, we see that. And lastly, the origin of this tradition is specifically tied to God covering Adam and Eve with animal skins. Most people don't know that. And it says this in Genesis 3:21, "And the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skin and clothed them." How significant is that? You can put the pieces together. Where did Abel become the keeper of sheep? The lambs will provide for you, it says. If we continue to look in the ancient Near East, we see sheep are valuable animals in the ancient Near East. And Proverbs 27:26 says this. He says, "The lambs will provide for your clothing." He will provide your clothing, it says. "And the goats, the price of a field." Sheep were a commodity in this time. They made household items out of sheep and wool and all of these things. Well, we know it's such as clothing and many other things. And we see God's promises are passed down through this tradition, from generation to generation, progressively doing what? Revealing God's gracious covenant. His gracious covenant that he made with Adam and Noah and Abraham and his chosen people, as we see here in Exodus. So here's the importance of this. The lamb had to be young. It was a young lamb, they subscribed. And it was had to be without blemish, the word says. And from among the people's household, these were the commandments. Young, without blemish, from their own household. That's significant. Burn that in your mind. The gospel message was present in each of their household, as we just focus on that. What a preparation for the people of Israel as they focus on the commands of God. They didn't know this yet. God, in his wisdom, made it clear as day, though. Moses not only provided the history of a people who trusted in God's promises, but he instructed these people, a whole nation, to follow and to participate. in a great atonement, we see. He instructed the whole nation to follow and participate in this sign and seal that he gave them, as he says. It's a sign and seal of God's gracious covenant of grace upon a people that didn't deserve grace. Pointing to what? To the great atonement of Christ. God was preparing the people to look forward to God's excellent plan, fully unraveled, this plan of salvation for his people. We're celebrating that today. Many people don't understand the importance of this Old Testament sign and seal as a shadow of Jesus' fulfillment on the cross. And today we have the sign and seal of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And what does this do? It points us backwards to the cross. But also, it points us forward to the second coming of Christ. We are a people torn in two directions, which is great. If we look back, we see Christ. If we look forward, we see Christ. You can't get away from it. These signs and seals were prepared for the people to do what? To point to the great hope that we have today in Jesus. And this brings us to our second point. Not only do we see a perfect sacrifice prepared for Israel, but also we see a perfect sacrifice given for Israel. God commands each household to be responsible. I want you to focus on that. Responsible for the death of the Lamb. Did you see that? We could read this and pass over it really quick. The Lamb that was among them. Did you get that? This meal of this Lamb that they had. This meal wasn't just for them to fill their stomachs and get away the rumbles. The giving of this lamb was to save their lives from the wrath of God over Egypt. That's what this giving of this lamb was to do. Have you prepared a meal in your life that your life depended on it? Have you ever done that? Have you ever prepared a meal that your life depended on? I know some of you probably will say, yeah, I've done that. I know I've felt like I've done that. You know, man, if I don't eat this, I'm going to die. I feel like I'm going to die of starvation if I don't eat this meal. You've been there, right? Some of you are just looking at me like you've never done this at all. I'll see you later after church. No, I'm just kidding. The giving of this lamb's most important point, however, was the blood. The blood of this perfect lamb prepared for the people, and among the people, what was it? Was a symbol of God shielding his people from the wrath of God poured out on Egypt. What an amazing picture. This doesn't mean that everyone in the household was a believer. That's what it shouldn't bring to our minds. We know that many of these people would die in the wilderness. Why? Because of unbelief. However, God had grace on them because of their obedience to his word. We need to ask the question, can a believer in church experience the grace of God? Can an unbeliever experience the grace of God in church? We have to ask that question. And the answer is yes. Yes. Judas most likely experienced the grace of God. Would you agree? by sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's pretty awesome. Yet he wasn't a believer. To this point, this is not the point, though, of this passage. The point is that God was showing that he was the one who would provide a perfect sacrifice for what? His chosen people in Israel. That's what he was doing. God was providing that perfect sacrifice. He was giving that perfect sacrifice to cover his people. The focus is on God. God was faithful. He fulfills his covenant. He is fulfilling his end. And while his chosen people were yet sinners sitting in that room, the Lamb was given for them. How gracious is our God! They should have died with everyone else. But God is gracious. They were to trust in God's promise of salvation and prepare to run at his command. Tighten your belts, put your sandals on, your running sandals, and have your staff in your hand. Think about what happened here. The people weren't looking for salvation. You've ever read the story of Exodus? They weren't looking for this. They were happy under their bondage. They were comfortable. If you know anything about the Exodus, they did not want change at all. But God called them out of bondage. He called them out of bondage. What? How? By the blood of a perfect lamb. And it was prepared for them long before, and it was given for them while they were yet under bondage. How amazing is that? All they had to do was believe. Believe in those promises and apply them to their household. And this brings us to our last point. Not only we see a perfect sacrifice prepared for Israel and a perfect sacrifice given for Israel, but also we see a perfect sacrifice covers Israel. Many times we see films and cartoons display the Exodus story in a way that shows a gruesome picture of little babies dying in their carriages, or their carriages, right? When the death angel passes over, all they hone in is on little babies dying, right? This is a sad picture. I hate to say that. But that's, I remember watching kids' stories, and that's all they do. Isn't that funny that they do this? This 10th plague came over. This is why I despise many films, right? This is why I despise many films about the Bible. Because a lot of times you miss the importance of the points. Its focus, these films, are on money. I don't care how you look at it. You try to make a film without money, okay, it's going to be a pretty bad film. But the focus is on money and even popularity. We praise films a lot of times over the message. I'm guilty of that. What's the reality of the 10th plague, though? Let's go deeper. The reality or the focus is not on babies dying, but on the firstborn of the household perishing. You get that? Let's dig it a little deeper. Well, if you look at the ancient Near Eastern east and their culture. What do you see? The firstborn had a privileged status, and all the firstborn says amen, right? I'm not the firstborn, so I didn't say amen. This firstborn status, and don't get your head big today. I know some of you are going to go back and the pastor said firstborn a privilege. Don't do that, okay? This is not the point. The firstborn status, it held both religious and family significance. It's a religious significance and a family significance. And they were the carriers, here's the point, they were the carriers of the family line. That's what we see. They were the welfare of the family tree, a lot of the times we see. They were to care for the family when the father died. They cared for the household. They were like the second father in many households. Sorry for all of you firstborns. If every firstborn child adult died, just think about that for a second. Not in the 21st century. But in this century, if every adult child or if every man that was a firstborn died as a result of this, a whole nation would be crippled. It would be crippled. Therefore, God gave a fatal blow to the Egyptians. Have you ever heard that before? You don't hear that a lot. God is over all. He is above all. He is holy and righteous. But notice here, but to all those who trusted in God's word, those who believed in the shedding of blood of the lamb, placing it on their door, feeding upon the lamb's nourishing body, would what? Would be saved from sudden death. God provided a way out. He provided a way out for them. He would give them a place to worship Him. He was calling them into worship. And finally, He would invite them into paradise. Do you see the story of redemption? A land flowing with milk and honey prepared for them. All through the blood of the Lamb. This Lamb of God, this perfect sacrifice was a cover for them. And while they were in bondage, while they were comfortable under a cruel leader, the blood of the Lamb was shed for them. While they sat and nourished themselves on the Lamb, its blood, its shed blood, the blood of this Lamb shielded them from the wrath of God. Can you see the picture? As they sat there with their family, notice this and hone in on this. The word says, as they sat there with their families, the reality of God's grace was over them. As the destroyer, as the word says, the destroyer came through, as he took the strength away from those who trusted in themselves, the blood of the Lamb, the perfect Lamb, covered them. It covered those who were under its umbrella. The ones trusting in God's word were shielded from the wrath of God. So here is the most pivotal part of the story. Notice, you shall observe this rite as a statute for you and your sons forever. And when you come into the land that the Lord will give you, as He has promised, you shall keep this service. And when your children say to you, when your little children coming around, they're seeing everyone participate. When they come of age and they say, Mommy and Daddy, what are you doing? Why do you celebrate this? Or they ask, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, for he passed over the houses of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but spared our houses. And notice one of the most critical points here. And the people, they bowed their heads and worshiped. If it doesn't give you goosebumps when you think about the terror of the wrath of God, these people sitting at night in their home, feeding upon the lamb, hoping that the blood of the lamb would cover them. And when they heard the screams of the people on the outer walls take place, you can only get this somber thought of, we're safe. And their response was, they fell to their face and they worshiped a holy God. Verses 1 through 5, Jesus is the perfect lamb prepared for you. Jesus is a perfect sacrifice given for you today. And Jesus is a perfect sacrifice as a covering for you today. This is the meaning of this day, Resurrection Sunday. Jesus was raised among us. Jesus was raised among us and was spotless. Jesus, he was the spotless lamb. We all were responsible for his death. Why? Because we all sinned against him. We all deserve death because we all sinned. But God raised him up from the dead. Defeating death and the grave, he provided what? A way out for his people. And this morning, trust in the lamb that was slain. This morning, the lamb prepared for you, given to us. The perfect lamb whose blood was shed for us. His blood can remove the curse of death and the wrath of God over you and me. May our response be as the multitude in heaven. As John puts it in Revelation, when I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures, the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and in the sea, and all that is in them, saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory, might forever and ever." And notice, the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. May we worship this morning the Lamb that was slain for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we give you praise. We worship you. Because your word is true. It pierces our hearts. It knows the intents of our hearts. It knows the depths of our souls. I pray, O God, that we would trust in you this morning. That our hearts would be fixed on the blood of the Lamb that was slain for us. That our lives would be fixated on the truth of Scripture. May we believe and trust in you every day of our lives. We pray, we need you in Jesus' name. Amen.